Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to start off with Andrew Wyman, The Lord's Prayer.
How they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sound something like this.
How should we pray?
Here's what the Lord told them. temptation. Please deliver us, for thine is the kingdom, the power. Now you say amen, and the glory is forever. Amen. Pray. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine in England, and I am your daily lover. And yes, that was Angie Winans, The Lord's Prayer, right here on The Love Journey. All right, we're going to get ready and move into a place inviting the presence, the presence of the Most High. And as we invite the presence into our lives right now, we just say yes. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe, and that is what we recognize right here, right now. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. I just want us to become very intentional right now about the breath, because there is power in the breath family. And as we become very intentional about the breath, I want us to take in a deep breath, to breathe it in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, then release the breath family. So I want you to just breathe, family. And as we invite the presence into this right now moment, and as we enter into the presence, I want us to be still and know that I am God. And I want you to breathe, family. Let's breathe. And then release. And let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, family, let's breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to just breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness, I forgive, I release, and I let go. I forgive, I release, and I let go.
Day one. A prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Thank you, God. Good morning, family. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover and so excited today to just be present. Present in all that I do and just being grateful right now. And I just want you to move from your head into your heart right now. Just simply being grateful. Gratitude is one of the most powerful energies that we can send into the universe. It's one of the most powerful vibrations to just simply give thanks. Thanking the Most High, the Creator, all that is. Thank you, God. Family, we're going to get started with a song, and then we're going to move right into the Science of the Mind, Science of Mind magazine. And then we're going to listen to How to Be Rich from Reverend Ike, and we're going to talk about that, how to command your money. You got to speak to your money, money making money. That's Reverend Ike's slogan. Money making money. He said the one thing that you got to do is get into a position where your money is making money. Money is making money. All right, family, we're going to get started with Joshua Rogers, Rain on Us. You tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring within us, send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts, send rain. Oh, breathe. Oh, shower down. Anybody needing a shower?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. We're reading from The Science of Mind, and today's topic is behavioral compliance. Tony Robbins once said, your life changes the moment you make a new, congruent, and committed decision. Your life changes the moment you make a new, congruent, and committed decision. Ernest Holmes, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer book. He said in there, our whole concept is partially based on the theory that whatever appears to be wrong is not wrong in itself, but is the wrong arrangement of what is right. Woo! It's the wrong arrangement of what is right. Interesting. Abraham Lincoln once wrote, I care not for one's religion, whose dog or cat are not the better for it. What Lincoln inferred is more than kindness to one's pet. It's about behavior hypocrisy. Behavior hypocrisy. One's actions are the telltale indicators of internal loyalty. Now, I may be able to quote chapter and verse from any holy book and post passages from inspirational resources, but of all of it is vacuous if I am genuinely unkind. I just love this book, this magazine. It gives me new vocabulary words, vacuous. So I look up the word vacuous. It means mindless, thoughtless. So let me reread it. One's actions are the telltale indicators of internal loyalty. I may be able to quote chapter and verse from any holy book and post passages from inspirational resources, but all of it is vacuous or mindless or thoughtless if I am genuinely unkind. Hypocrisy is lazy. Living in word deed compliance takes work. I like how they put that, living in word deed compliance, meaning your word and your action must be the same. It takes work. And I know it takes work because my prayer is I didn't want to come on this love journey saying things and not walking my talk. Ooh, you got to be careful what you pray, right? Too often, the lack of behavioral compliance with our us and them dialogue is layered in laziness. We're not interested in inquiring about another's life, path, or circumstance. They're just too different, and it's inconvenient, even threatening to our worldview. Anyone geographically, sexually, racially, religiously, politically different becomes the convenient scapegoat for our upset. Parallel with Lincoln's analogy, I once penned the following. Many would like to have a dog. Upon having one, it's clear that what they really like is the idea of having a dog. Many would like to have a conscious spiritual life. When presented with possibility, it's clear that what they really like is the idea of conscious spiritual life. You see, practicing the principles, loving thyself, loving thy neighbor as thyself, and with all that getting to understand becomes motivation and support these principles through time, talent, and treasure. What would be the tipping point for our species to evolve from wishing things were better to uncovering and recognizing the better that is already here? It rests with renewal to behavior compliance. And so with my own commentary, I guess I like to add it is easier to talk the talk than it is to walk the walk. See, it's easy for me to get on here and tell you, girl, yes, you must learn to love yourself. Yes, it's easy for me to get on here and talk the talk. But to honor those principles that I speak, no, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it's worth the work. You see, sometimes we got to be committed to the commitment of self. And we got to know that the work that we're doing is worth it because we're worth it. Because you worth it. Because you are worth it. I like that. You are worth it. You are worth it. What am I saying? You are worth the work. No. It's not going to always be peaches and cream. But the peaches and cream on the other side is so much better. So today's affirmation says, I am positively congruent in thought, word, and deed. I am positively congruent in thought, word, and deed. This affirmation makes me think, am I speaking? And all these thoughts, and all my thoughts and my deeds and my actions and my words, the same. See, it's easy to talk the talk. But are you in your heart embodying what you say you believe in? Are you embodying the words that you say you believe in? So, before we get into today's lessons about commanding your money, I want you to think about, and I love, 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 love this right here. Are your words impeccable? Are you impeccable with your words? And what am I saying when I say that to you? Are you impeccable with your words? Are you being an example of what you're talking about. See, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, the issue here is that you're not loving yourself. And we talk about it. It's so, you know, I'm believing that even loving yourself is becoming a cliche conversation. But are people really doing the work? And you know when people are doing the work, when people embody. See, it's easy for something to become an intellectual thought. A lot of us become, we talk about God from an intellectual perspective. But are we embodying God in our heart? It's easy to talk about loving oneself from an intellectual perspective, but are we embodying loving ourselves in our heart? And when it becomes part of the heart, we begin to experience God differently. Are you experiencing God? Each year I have a theme for my year. Last year my theme was to experience life, to experience God. And I didn't really even know what I was asking when I said to myself, I'm going to experience life. I'm not just going to talk about things. I'm going to travel to different places. And when I'm in different environments, I'm going to really get out of my head and experience what it is that I'm going to experience, right? So in order to experience something, you must what? Become very present. And what I realized is that most people are not present. We often thinking about the past, or we often thinking about the future, but we never are just stopping to be present. And when you experience something, you have to be present to experience it. So what I learned is to be present and to was to be experiencing something, was to be present, but it was deliberately that I intentionally wanted to be present. So if I was sitting with someone I loved or sitting with someone, I made sure that I let my family know if they needed anything, this is what I was doing, but I really wanted to be present with the people so I wouldn't be, you know, constantly answer my phone because I want to be present in the conversation. I want to look that person in the eye and experience their energy while we're together. And when I eat my food, I want to experience the food and experience God. Every time my fruit became different, you know. I remember one time, my youngest daughter, Asia, said to me, she said, Mom, she was eating mangoes because she loved mangoes. I think it was some mangoes that we had got from a gift box from Florida from one of our precious, precious people who live in Florida, right? So we were eating the mangoes. She said, Mom, I think God is in the fruit. And I thought to myself, wow, what an interesting thought to taste God in the fruit. And so each time I'm eating my food, and I love, everybody knows I love a good seed watermelon. Not seedless, seed watermelon, sweet. You know, those down home Mississippi watermelons. And so the other day when I was eating my watermelon, I just sat with my watermelon and I just experienced God in every taste. Can you imagine that everything that you do, that you got out your head and moved into your heart and experience? And life became very different for me last year when I became present about experiencing God in everything that I did. I mean, even from your making love, you're experiencing God and making love. You're experiencing God and even experiencing God in all that you do. Experiencing God when you just sit with yourself. And so the message in this part of the conversation is that I want you to really become impeccable with your word. Become impeccable in who you are. Yes, it's a cliche. We talk about loving ourselves, but what does that really mean? what does loving oneself really mean? If you really ask love to reveal love self to you, what would that really look like for you? Not just getting our nails done and our hair did and looking physically present, but loving ourselves from the soul essence. I love George Washington Carver. In an interview, he was asked, how did he become so present with the plant that he knew exactly what to invent with these different plants and peanuts? And he said this: when one falls so deeply in love with the plants will reveal its secret to you. He said he fell so deeply in love with the plants that the plants revealed its secrets. Can you imagine what would happen if we fell so deeply in love with ourselves? Not this surface cliche love that everybody's talking about that they don't even know what they're talking about because they haven't even experienced it. Yeah, we get on this Facebook Lives and YouTubes, and I get on this call. But have we really understood how to experience falling in love so deeply with the presence of ourselves? I love the story, so I'm going to be paraphrasing a story that I heard from Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart was talking about there was this meme that was going around on Facebook, Instagram. And it was two side-by-side memes. And one person was digging and digging and digging through the rocks, looking for treasures. And one guy gave up, got to, you know, a point in his search for the treasures. And he gives up. But on the other side, the meme goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And what he finds when he goes deeper is this most beautiful buried treasure. The moral of the meme was about going deeper into the presence of who you are. So this is what Kevin Hart said, that some of the things that really I was able to take away. He said, when one maximizes oneself, because what he said is once he figured out that he could tell a joke, oh, wow, and get paid, that was good. But what if he can maximize the idea of telling a joke? You go deeper. And what was even more fascinating about the idea is I want you to really think about this. That there was no ceiling to being able to maximize oneself. Because when one, he said, and this is Kevin Hart saying this in his speech. He said, when one maximizes itself, one falls in love deeper. There's no ceiling to love. So let me give you an example of what he meant. There's no ceiling on love. Because once you maximize yourself to the fullest, the greatest version of you, what happens is, there's always something new to learn. Love opens up new doors. So I thought it was interesting. So he gave an example, like his whole thought process was to become a comedian, right? He never thought about acting, producing, making movies, maximizing himself to the point where he was assisting other people in being the greater version of themselves, you know. So when you think about that, he said the more you maximize yourself, the more you fall in love with who you are, the easier it is to maximize your gifts and your talents and things that you have. And so as he moved into other levels of life, like all he wanted to be was just a comedian. All he just wanted to be was a comedian. Now think about that. For one, it was a house with six trees. Oprah wanted a house with six trees. She got a house with 3,686 trees. Now, I want you to really think about what Kevin Hart is saying, what George Washington Carver said, what Janine and Ingram is saying right now. Kevin Hart said there's no ceiling to maximizing yourself because you only can get better at what you love. Think about that. There's no ceiling to maximizing self because you can only get better at what you love. I took copious notes on what Kevin Hart was saying. You know, you never know who and what you can learn from. I just love learning in aha moments. There's no ceiling to maximizing self because you only can get better at what you love. So if he took the time to go deep, talents and his gifts opened up doors that only love can take them in. So it's easy to intellectualize these things, but the intellectual part of us is only going to take us so far. But love is going to open up doors that intellectualism won't. Let's take Moses and Joshua. Metaphysically, Moses represents the thought aspect of the spiritual law. Joshua metaphysically represents the heart spiritual law. And when you take Moses and you see what happened with Moses, oftentimes I want us to think about this. When Moses was asked at the burning bush, he was asked to step into the gift that I have been giving you. It's time to come to the presence of what I've asked you to come to the planet for, basically, is what God was telling Moses. You know, it's time for you to go before Pharaoh. And Moses, like, you know what, God, I don't think that's for me. In his negotiations with God, Moses was really saying to God, I don't think I'm good enough for that. You see, I don't speak well. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I stutter, God. I don't think I'm. But also, Moses carried a lot of guilt. He didn't think he was worthy. Moses didn't think he was good enough. Now, how can you be in the presence of God and negotiate with God that you wasn't good enough when God was the one who ordained you the day before you even got here? But Moses was ambivalent about the idea of going before the Pharaoh. And even though he had been a part of the education, he understood the language. He intellectualized all of the information, but did he take time to embody it in his heart to really recognize who and what Moses was? And so many times we're able to do things and make things happen and become these amazing energies on the planet. Sometimes we're not doing it from a place of a heart. We're still intellectualizing God, which is what Moses did. Because when you start intellectualizing a process, then you start to think about whether something is good enough or not. But in your heart doesn't have time or doesn't move or navigate the way the brain
the mind works. The heart already knows it's good enough. Love already knows that it's good enough. Love already knows that it's worthy. Love doesn't need protection, because nothing can stand in love space but love. When we start thinking about needing protection from something or safeguarding, that's our mind. But love already knows that nothing against love but love. Love doesn't need a fence. Love doesn't need security. Because anytime you start adding those things, you're not adding love, because love doesn't need any of that. Love has no fear. Love has no doubts. Love, just love. And so when you think about what he's saying, there's no ceiling to maximizing self, because you only can get better at what you love. Imagine taking the intellectualized thought of loving yourself and embodying it in your heart. Imagine going deeper into loving the most precious gift you've been given. The most precious gift you have been given. And that gift is you. And so, what would life be like if you did the work and went deeper? Loving yourself. Loving yourself from the soul essence. What would it be like if we just honored the gift called you? If you maximize the opportunity to truly love you deeper, it's so amazing what happens when you truly are embodying the energy of love. When you see what happens is when people step in your energy, they have to rise or leave. To worry about, ladies, how a man stepped to you. Because what's going to happen is he's either going to rise or he's going to leave. Gentlemen, you don't have to worry about how a woman and whether she likes you for this or that, because she's either going to rise or leave, because that's what love does. So many times I've been approached about certain things. I didn't have to raise my voice. I didn't have to move. I just said, this is what it is. And new love was going to handle it. Because love needs no protection. You don't have to arm yourself with anything. Because energy is the most powerful invitation in the planet. Energy. Everything is energy. We talk this talk, but do we really know? See, it's interesting talking to scientists who understand energy, but then not understand that energy is how we invite things into our space. See, invitationally, I invite you into my space through my vibration. And when it's all said and done, that's the only language that the universe understands. The universe understands vibration. So why do we speak? So we can shift the vibrational energy that we're sending out into the universe. That's the only thing words are about. Words are about to shift the vibrational energy. That's why learning to pray in an affirmative way is powerful, because the vibration. Someone asked me the other day about praying amiss. What did that really mean? I said, what if I told you that you would come, everything you did was a prayer? Everything you do is a prayer. Because vibrationally, your vibrations is a prayer to the universe to invite what it is, to create what it is that's happening in your world. If you can maximize the opportunity to love, love being the highest vibratory energy on the planet, what if you could maximize the opportunity of love? Not intellectualizing it, but being love. And I used to hear, you know, people tell me all the time where I hear this conversation with, you want love, you got to be love. Well, what does that really mean? I didn't understand. You want love, you got to be love. Now, I heard it, but I didn't know what it meant. And even started using it. Oh, you want love? Be love. And so one day I said to myself, well, Janine, how are you going to use something that you don't even know what you're talking about? Because my prayer all the time, this is my prayer. Don't let my talk be any different than my walk, God. I want my talk and my walk to be congruent. You see, I don't want to get on this love journey line talking a good talk but not walking the walk. What does that mean? That don't mean that everything I tell you that I'm doing, that I'm very transparent about if I am or not. But what's important is that I do the work. That I do the work. So I'm sitting there one day asking God, what does it really mean to be? To be love. I think unconsciously I was doing the being because people start naming me Lady Love and Dr. Love and Love God is different. So I must have been in love, but I didn't know quite what that meant when I said, if you want love, you got to be love. And I remember somebody saying, you want money? You got to be money. Don't chase success, be success. What does this being thing mean? And so I started researching. B-E-I-N-G. What does it mean to be the being of something? And, you know, I started really thinking about, if I want love, then I have to be love. If I want money, I have to be money, right? If I want success, then I must be success. So I started really thinking about that. So I looked up the word. And the synonyms of being were soul, spirit, nature, essence, inner being, inner self. And I thought, I know you said, well, why she didn't tell us the definition? It was because the synonyms of being became very interesting. The soul, the spirit, the nature, the essence, the inner being, the inner self. Those were the synonyms to being. And so when I started really thinking about it, just for the sake of the definition, is the quality or state of existence. The quality or state of existence. So I wondered, that was the definition of being. So I said to myself, well, what would be the definition of being? Especially when I looked up the word and the word synonyms were soul, spirit. Now, this is just a regular dictionary, you know. I have an etymology and I have these different kind of books. So being was existence. But be was to exist. To exist. So I thought about the synonym, spirit, soul, inner being, inner self. And I start thinking about being. How do I be love? How do I be success? What does it look like to be love? And I thought about God is love. And I am love. I am all that God is. Then it's just to simply let go of thought and suspend thought and surrender to what I already am. To exist without thought, to exist without ego, to exist in the state of being love or being success or being something that was just natural to the nature of who I am or who you are. Not just me. So, to surrender to the idea of being love, and to simply drop into my heart. And exist from a place that is natural to the being of who I am, which is love. Preconceived notion of what love is. Not any idea of right or wrong or what love is, but to really drop into the nature of the natural presence of the spirit, of the soul, of my inner self, and surrendering to the nature of what I already am without putting thought to it, not adding definition to it, not defining it, not putting words, but just being natural to the nature of the highest vibratory energy on the planet, which is who I am. And let it reveal itself to me. Removing myself from the process and allowing itself to reveal itself to me. Move into my soul essence, looking into the deepness of the soul being of Janine Ann Ingram and asking itself to reveal itself so deeply to myself that only love can transform from that. But not love from a place that I'm defining it. Not love in a thought process or conditioning. But to adjust. Simply being free to let it say to me what it is to me. I think about the sun often. The sun doesn't care. It just do what it do. It shines on each and every one of us the same. What if I can remove what I've been thinking love was and just simply let love reveal itself to me? What if I can remove what I've been conditioned to believe God was from any perspective other than just God revealing God's self to me? And yes, the Bible is a great source. Yes, the Quran and others, religious texts, and maybe some phenomenal preachers or ministers. But what if I could sit in the presence and just be free enough to allow God to and suspend my thoughts, but to allow God's thoughts to come through and only allow the presence of God to come through. And let it reveal itself to me. And in that moment, I understood what I didn't understand the day I decided I wanted to study Buddhism. So I get this, I'm 21, 22. It was a movie come out, What's Love Got to Do with It, with Turner attributed her success to chanting Buddhism. And because I was, you know, I hashtag myself as Miss Addicted to Success. I love everything about success. I love to see people successful. I love to read about success. I love to hear a good successful story. And so I wanted to be successful. So I go say, okay, I'm going to study Buddhism. And I remember walking into the place and we're sitting there and I'm got my little pen and I'm taking my little notes. And they say, if you know, you know nothing. It's when you don't know that you know everything. Thinking to myself, that is the craziest thing in the world. At 21, it didn't make sense. But now I think about the word know, K-N-O-W. As soon as our mind says, I know, we shut down a possibility to opening ourselves to something that may be trying to get our attention. So, and I remember, it's so true. I remember when I even first started the line, I thought I had the goods on God. And I had read the book Dynamic Laws of Prosperity so many times that I thought I knew everything in the book, tip word, thought. So one of the ladies, she come, she calling me, she telling me about, you know, she was telling me about the part in the book. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I said it out loud or I know. And soon as she started telling me about the part in the book, guess what? I didn't know. But I noticed as soon as I said the word, I know, I shut myself off from hearing. I had to open myself up to hear. My girlfriend and I, we grew up in metaphysical church, so we was in, I don't know if we was in a Baptist or Sanctified church. And because, you know, when people become New Thought or they become, they think they had the goods on God like I thought I had the goods on God. And they don't know that we're closing ourselves off to even when we go back to our roots. When I used to go back to my roots, I thought, oh, they don't know, you know, blah, 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 and I know, and blah, blah, blah. And I was cutting myself off to what I could learn in that experience. So this particular time, she was talking and talking, and I could see myself in what she was saying, and I didn't want to be that person. So I asked myself, I said, you know what? I don't want to be that person. Yeah, I might be in New Thought. I might have metaphysical understanding, but this is my roots. What can I learn? So I asked myself not to know in that right then moment. I said, I asked myself to be open to hearing the preacher. And what I learned in that instance, in that very instance when I didn't know, open myself to knowing, I opened myself to being able to hear the message that God may have wanted me to hear, even through what I call old traditional sanctified church. But let me tell you, what I realized is that in the roots of my beginning was in the sanctified church. So how could I think that I've grown to such a point that I, and what I realized in that right there moment is that I could find God in everywhere, in the sanctified church, in the Baptist church, in the Catholic church, in the mosque. I could find God anywhere if I just didn't know, if I just opened myself to the understanding that there might be a message right here in the traditional church. And let me tell you, the message was so profound that now, the goods on God, because I'm New Thought or metaphysical or I've moved past my, no, baby, I get right in that sanctified, and I can't tell you how much I love the music and how much spirit exists just as powerful in the sanctified as it did in the metaphysical. Spirit was just as powerful in the Baptist as it was in the temple, in the mosque. Spirit was just as powerful in the Catholic Church as it was anywhere. Because what I realized is Spirit just need a willing vessel. It don't matter if you sanctified Baptist, New Testament. It, all it wants is a willing vessel to use, and a willing vessel. It's not in your head, it's in your heart. See, we get intellectualized about our religion, you know. Yes, I'm New Thought, I'm metaphysical, I'm sanctified, I'm this and that. But really, God don't care about none of that. Spirit only wants a willing vessel. It would use you if you're sanctified. It would use you if you're a willing vessel. If you're metaphysical, it would use you no matter what. And so soon as we K-N-O-W, we no longer a willing vessel. Buddhist was telling me, soon as you know, you're limiting yourself to what, that's it. But soon as you don't know, you know everything. Soon as you don't know, you open yourself to the universal presence of all that is. And I guess I just got a lot of random thoughts going on this morning. I didn't do nothing I was supposed to play, right, John? But I just want to say, I'm going to leave you with this. Found work we can do on the planet is to fall so deeply in love with oneself that you reveal your own secrets to you, that you fall so deeply in love with the soul essence. You see, if you were on this line today, you've been called to go deeper. You've been called to go deeper. You see, it's time to take God out your mind and experience God in your heart. It's time to take God out your mind and put God in your heart. Experience the presence of God in all things. You see, I realize that prayers are rope when we just say, oh, Father, thank you for this food and blah, blah, blah. But to experience the food and be in total gratitude, and it'd be so juicy and so delicious that the juice running down the side of your lips and you're going, oh, God, so succulent and all you can think, that's experiencing God. To move from a place in your head and move into your heart to experience life. That's what it's all about. You see, to really embody the promised land, Moses couldn't get to the promised land because Moses never felt worthy. Moses never felt good enough. Moses didn't feel good enough because Moses still was triggered by the idea that he wasn't good enough. Moses was still triggered by the idea that he felt guilty from the past of what he did, from killing that. Because Moses was still in his head. Joshua had a heart, had a love for the law. He had a heart, the heart. Reverend Ike always say, it's in the feelings that get the blessings. Neville Goddard said, the feelings get the blessings. Why are they saying the feelings get the blessings? The feelings. It's in the feeling nature. And when we can embody a principle in the heart, when we can embody God in the heart, when we can embody in our heart, then we're being, because being is in the heart. It's natural to the nature of who you are. Success is natural to the nature of who you are. Love is natural to the nature of who you are. When you have to think about it, intellectualize it, define it, then it no longer becomes the being. The being is natural to the existence. It's the spirit. It's the soul essence of who you are. So when you being love, you being from, you existing from the place of the soul, the spirit of you. And it wasn't the definition of being that caught my attention. It was the synonyms that they use for being that caught my attention. So when we desire to become more of something, remember, you already are all that God is. So it's not about doing anything to become what you already are. It's about removing the veils and the conditioning that keeps you in the thought process of something, that keeps love in the intellectual part of you, that keeps success in the intellectual part. You see, what I realize is that thought is the seed. When you plant a seed, words are the nourishment to the seed. And the feeling, the emotional, or the heart is the manifestation, it's the growth, it's the development, it's the visible presence of what our invisible thought. So the seed is the thought and the manifestation of that seed is in the heart. The visible presence of that seed is in the heart, comes from the heart. You got to feel it. You got to be it. But it's already natural to the nature of who you are. So really the work is never to fix something that's already whole, to fix something that you thought was broken. It's not. It's just broken in the thoughts. So the thought is to get the conditioning and the veils and all the things that ever taught you that you wasn't worthy and all the things that taught you that you wasn't, when in reality you already are. It's already natural to the nature of your existence. You're not broken. You're already all that you will ever need to be, perfect, whole, and complete. You're already worthy, and you're already more than enough. And that's going to be my message for today, a lot of little random thoughts. I guess you entered into the presence of what Janine do. Any questions, comments, concerns? You can press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is the 602 number. If you're on teleconference, you called in on the 712-432 number, *6. Press 1 on Blog Talk if you have a question, comment, or concern. *6.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, my sister?
Hey, lady.
Lady,
how are you?
I am excellent. You know what? I am, I stopped being in awe of spirit. But it still surprises me or fills my heart with joy when what I'm thinking or what I'm seeing new, you reveal on this line the day after. I mean, like, it's just like, okay, confirmation, Lord. So now, you were everywhere, but it was all in sync. However, I mean, and I like to say, you know, my idea of new thought is seeing things in a greater way, not good or bad, but in a more peripheral way, where your heart is accepting to everybody's space wherever they are. You know, I've been taking this class on the history of new thought. And all the people that brought in their ideas to Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's. And one of the things that I realized is we think on an accepting level, that we understand that everybody's walking their own path, and that change comes when change is asked for. You know, when I moved from Catholicism into New Thought and joined Unity Church, I was asking for more, Lord. It was like I had come to the point that I had the understanding of the connection between me and God, and that I was his co-creator, and I was walking in spirit, and I needed this body to allow spirit to lead. And I didn't know how to do that. And for me, religion kept me there, stuck. Okay, I know this, but how do I do this? It's almost as if they didn't actually show you the way to be that person or that human that God desires us to be. We're supposed to be the manifestation and walking in God, who is spirit. So to allow our process to happen, we have to first be aware of it, first ask some pertinent questions, and then sit still and let God show you the way. Saying yes to the things that he brings to you and not, like you said, get into my head. So for a long time, if someone invited me to their church, I would go. And I'd sit there. Before I go, my prayer was, Lord, I know you asked me to come. Now give me the message. And that's it. You know, not analyzing word for word what's being said or done in that particular religious space. Not saying, oh, no, that's not the truth. Oh, show me the truth, Lord. You know, to me, a person walking in new thought has no judgment, has no condemnation, has no right or wrong, you know, and doesn't get into debate. I do not at this point need to debate you about the difference between what I practice and what you practice. Just like Edgar Casey said, if it works for you, I'm glad for you. And I'm also so grateful for my growth and my growing process. See, I can't say I know because I don't know. You know, I remember reading a long time ago in some book, it was early in my walk, and the brother who wrote the book, I think I gave it to somebody, but anyway, he wrote, you know, and it might be, oh, I can't think of the preacher's name, but anyway. Oh, Utmost for His Highest. And he said that my only, and I'm paraphrasing, our only purpose here is to be God. So my question after that was, okay, God, how do I be you? How do I be you? Because you're spirit, you're not body.
I want you to think about that question. That's a powerful question. But what if you said, how do I be me as God? Because you God, Rose. It's, you know, when we say, how do I be you, that kind of puts something from a different perspective. But what if you said, how do I be me, God? God, me, God, Rosa, God. That would have been
like
even more powerful.
I am, right. That's like saying, I am Rosa the Christ. Like Jesus the Christ, because that's what we're supposed to be, the Christ on earth, and Christ is love, that's what God is. You know, but these processes are ever growing, and then it becomes natural, and just natural for you to speak, walk, and talk, act in love, and thereby then you connect to that spirit that God blew into you. And that I love on clay, if you want to say, you know, because we were spirit before we were body. And that's an understanding, too.
But what if being spirit and body wasn't much different other than the density of the molecules?
It is more than that. It's like spirit is unseen. It's a feeling. You feel spirits around you. Some of us do. Some of us even see us. But spirit can't do nothing else, nothing without this body. It is more than just, we're more than a molecular structure. We're so much more than that. And we have to learn to balance all that we are the best way we can without interfering with somebody else's process or someone else's walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people say, I may be the only God that anybody ever sees. And if I'm always judging you and giving angst and anxiety and showing you or telling you all the things that are quote unquote wrong, then am I shutting down that person and myself? That's not my intent.
Okay.
That's not my purpose. And you're right to ask that question, but to show me the God I am to be. How do I do that? What do I need to enhance in me to enhance you? In me, you mm-hmm. with me, you being a part of me and acknowledging that God and being all right with it. You know, when people talk about new thoughts, they get all up in their head about, oh, well, you don't study the Bible. You don't, that's not true. In some churches, some people don't. But is that all? It is so, let me just keep it on this. Me as a human being cannot even begin to fathom how great God is in spirit by himself. Let alone how great God is in me, with me, things that I can do, the things that I choose to do, the things that I say yes to. The point where mm-hmm. I get to the point where I can speak the word and it shows up immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I need it, not because I want it, but because I command it. That my prayers are not begging. My prayers are acknowledging how great the God self is to manifest whatever I desire. And everything I desire is good, living in overflow. No matter how it physically shows up, no matter how it's present that I can see, feel, and touch, or even greater shows up. You know, I know we all get into, oh, this is the best way ever to be, to think, to worship, to praise. And yes, it is the best way ever for me. That does not necessarily mean that it is the best way for you.
No.
To me, that's new stuff. I allow you to do you, boo, and love you all the way through, no matter what. Yeah, you brought a lot of thought, of course, as usual. You always also acknowledge the fact that we are on our individual journeys to the same place. And whatever works for you, for me, works for you. And it may not be that way all the time, so I have to be acceptable about that too. So I am Rosa J, joining God's way each and every day. And just for today, I want to leave you with, I love myself. I forgive myself. I am love. Keep that.
All right. Thank you, Rosa J. Any more questions, comments, or concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk Radio, *6 on telecom. Thank you, family. We're going to get ready and get out of here. Thanking you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Recognizing that your life is a gift from God and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice, family. And remember, family, don't just dream your God-sized dreams. Live your God-sized dreams. Live them, family. And I think the difference between dreaming and living is in your heart, too. Let's do it. Let's take action. Let's take action. Action. Action, family. All right, family. Now that we found love, what we're going to do with it is what I'm going to play for us. Third world, family. I'm going to put a little third world in your life today. Take you all the way to Jamaica, baby. All right, you've been tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover. This is Third World, right here. Now that we found love, what we gonna do, what we gonna do, what we gonna do, what we gonna do.